Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. We continue with our training camp series, and joining us today on the podcast is the defensive coordinator at the College of Brockport in New York, Coach Mike Fox. Mike, it's always great to have you here on the podcast.
Keith, great to be here. Thanks for having me this morning.
For our listeners, Coach Fox here has engineered one of the best defenses in Division III. In 2018, they allowed 86 yards rushing. That's not in one game. That's in the season. Average of 6.8. So just an incredible job, Coach, that you guys have done. And I know that transitions as well into some of your pass defense efficiency and quarterback sacks. But really for you, you know, we've talked about this before on the podcast. It's about stopping the run, and you guys certainly have done an excellent job with that.
Yeah, always the first thing we talk about as a defensive staff and with our kids, and it's always the priority of, you know, every day we go out to practice, and that's our game plan, is put enough bodies near the line of scrimmage and fit how we want to, fit through aggression and try and get tackles for loss, you know, and really put those guys behind the sticks and put them in. If you can get a guy in second and 11, second and 12, you know, it's tough to run the ball in that situation. So we're always constantly trying to make negative plays on first down in the run game, and that's kind of our game plan. And hopefully it works out this way as it worked out last year.
Well, Coach, I want to pick your brain a little bit on just the installation of this and how you guys progress through camp. And as we're recording this, a lot of high school teams are about maybe 2 weeks into it, heading into the school year coming up. So they're in that time where they might have scrimmaged, but they still don't have that first game under their belt. And you guys are just getting ready for it. You're a couple days away from a report day, so you're in a little bit of a different place. But I kind of want to run the whole gamut here. And starting with the installation, with your defense, and looking at how you put it together, you know, especially those first couple days, certainly there has to be a emphasis on the physicality of this defense, because you guys want to make those tackle for loss. It's a big part of what you do. In watching you last year, it showed up in the stats all the time that you guys were making a lot of tackles behind the line of scrimmage. So, you know, first couple days here before all that gear goes on, what's the installation plan and how are you guys getting ready for the physical part of this?
Well, you know, installation wise for us, just from like an X and O standpoint, is, you know, we may be a little different than most teams. Most teams will kind of, you know, what they would call install their base four man front, or maybe their base three man rush, and, you know, what they're doing off that. Our first week, we're actually going to install our five man pressures. So if you were to ask what is Brockport's base defense, it's going to be our five man pressures. And that's one of the first things that we install and keep it going for the entire week. Our kids learn, you know, how to be great blitzers against the run, because that's what, you know, linebackers for us are going to do 75% of the time. They basically turn into defensive linemen, and that's what we teach them. So install-wise, we're on a schedule of, you know, whether it's a front or whether it's a coverage, we believe in spending two good days, you know, teaching that, trying to perfect it, not obviously perfect it, but, you know, get it down, get it so we can line up. And we're trying not to move on until we can get lined up to most formations. We can make our calls, make our checks, and run our defense until we move on to, you know, our next segment. But that's for us at this point with our returners going to be about 2 days. Tackling, you know, that's always the first thing. And through spring ball and Division III level, we don't have pads. So we've gone accustomed, and we've gotten pretty good at teaching tackling without really ever touching a guy, you know. And I've always been a big believer of try and put your body in the best position possible to make a good strike and make a good form tackle. And as long as you can get your body in that great position to make a good form tackle, then that's going to make that contact, however you're teaching it, so much more easier. So whether it's spring ball, whether it's the first couple of days with just helmets, we're just going to work on body positioning, really our footwork. You know, for us, we always talk about shimmying down. We never say breakdown. We never want our feet to stop. So it's a shimmy and a shoot our arms. and it just really concentrates on putting our bodies in a great position to be in that first step for a great, great open field tackle or a great, you know, in the box tackle.
I know as the game evolves here, and there's been a lot of, you know, at the high school level, some legislation put in place and limits to contact, a lot of emphasis on that. I know, thinking back to my first spring as a Division III coach, that's, you know, something you mentioned there just jogged my memory that, you know, you really rethink about how you're going to practice, especially from the physical part, because there's no point in the spring. In fact, when we first did it, we couldn't even hit the pads. You know, that's been a recent ad here in the last few years, that you have to rethink how you practice. And I think it makes you a better coach because you become more attuned to all the footwork, all the exact technique that takes place, you know, all the way up to contact. The contact is like actually becomes a smaller part of it. And you realize like there's so many things along the way to make this happen right that I can be working right now.
Exactly. That's a great point because, you know, when it comes to the actual contact part, I mean, you're either a dog or you're not. You're either going to bring it, you're going to bring your hips, and you're going to bring, you know, some violent contact with it, you know, or you're not. That's something that you maybe are born with or you have, you know, progressed through your years of playing football. You know, that's tough to teach as far as that attitude of bringing that ball carrier down. But what we can just refine and keep working on is all the things leading up to that final contact. If we can perfect that and get your body in the best position possible to finish that tackle, you know, then you as a football player are going to take the rest of that and make that, you know, tackle, either a big hit or, you know, a great open field tackle, because some kids have it and some kids don't. But we can teach you everything leading up to that quick millisecond of a time right before, you know, the tackle goes down.
Coach, there's been some changes at the college level in camp, in the format of camp, and in talking to a lot of college guys over the last few weeks here on the podcast, it seems overall that everybody is actually pretty pleased with, you know, some of the changes here, because 2 days are gone at the college level, and there's actually now a rest day. I don't want to call it a rest day, but a day that's not going to be physical every fourth day in camp. Your thoughts on those changes and I guess that evolution just in how we're going to prepare for our season?
Well, we personally really like it because, you know, last year was the first year of preseason camp that, you know, no doubles every other day, just a walkthrough. And we felt we came out of camp, one, completely more healthy. And then two, just so much more refreshed. Usually when you get out of camp, it's a grind and you're kind of spending almost that first couple days that prep for that first opponent as kind of a, you know, let's get our legs back. Let's get back. Let's get some of these injured guys back. We didn't have that situation last year at all. So I think the format has been a great change as far as that aspect goes. Mentally, I think my personal opinion is I think, you know, sometimes the grind and 2 days of practice, you get a little more mentally tough. You know, you got to go out there, you got to get ready, you got to get your body amped up. If your body's not feeling good, you got to get your mind going, you know? So I think mentally, you know, I don't know if you want to say it, you take a step back from that aspect, but I think what you gain, you know, physically preparing your body for a long season has been great. And then with the walkthroughs every single day, I mean, I felt like coming out of camp last year, we were so much more just mentally prepared, which for the long run is going to be, it's going to be way better. So I think the positive change is all around, and, you know, we're kind of excited this year to tweak a couple things and go on and learn from last year and make it even better this year going forward to the season.
At the Division III level, you guys get one scrimmage opportunity before the season starts. Certainly you can do some inner squads and things like that. But really with, you know, all your opportunities you have leading up to the game, at some point, there becomes, I guess, that little bit of staleness that can creep in because you haven't really hit anybody else.
Yeah.
You haven't faced anybody else. What kind of things do you guys do from a practice format standpoint, from a competition standpoint, to keep things fresh during that time?
Yeah, Keith, I know we've talked about this before, but you know, our turnover competition that we do on the defensive side of the ball, so our kids have to get, you know, every practice they have to get 5 turnovers, and whether that be a turnover in one-on-ones, a strip punch, we try and make it a little interesting. If we're going to do, usually when you get to that second, third week, you really now introduce a lot of your situations, whether it's red zone, third down, coming out, 2-minute. So that aspect will give you a little bit more of a competition and lively up practice a little bit. So, you know, your first week you're going through your first downs, you know, you're getting lined up, you're getting your checks down, you're installing your base defense. Usually by that second and third week, you're moving on to situations. So however you can make that competitive in practice, you know, whether it's ones against ones, ones against twos, put something on it, you know, put something on it in practice. You know, winners don't have to do, or winners, you know, have to sit out of sprints at the end of practice. So we try and do that as much as possible within our practice plan. So if we're going to do a third down and 8 period, we'll have 3 plays. And, you know, whoever wins 2 out of 3 of them doesn't have to run sprints that day. So that'll get our guys, you know, juiced up. Our turnover competition still goes throughout practice. So by that time, you know, for us, if we're in a red zone period and we get a turnover, that counts as actually 2 turnovers towards the 5. So just that, you know, excitement of trying to create a big play in a big situation in a football game or practice for us, you know, will bring some live and some intensity, you know, towards the practice. So those are a couple things that we do. But it's tough. I mean, once you get past that first week of excitement, the guys are back and they're excited to be back on campus. You know, that's where you really mentally grow and start to get that mentally tough attitude going for the season.
Coach, thinking of, you know, this time, this opportunity to teach your guys, they're basically full-time football players for a while before classes start. What kind of things do you emphasize in your film sessions, your classroom sessions, even your walkthrough? I mean, what have you found to be some of your best methods to really reinforce the learning that's going on during this time?
I think, you know, during the season, I think sometimes even, you know, we get caught up of watching the opponent. You know, hey, they're going to do this. This is what they do. And you start game planning. Camp, for me, you know, we were just talking about this last week about how we wanted to progress practice. You know, camp for me is, what do we do well? I don't really spend any time up until that last week or that first week before our first opponent worrying about what, you know, for our case, it's going to be Hobart, what they're doing. I'm more worried about what we do well, whether it be schematically, talent-wise, as far as, you know, who we have, what we're going to look like this year and building that team up to get to that point of where we can be most successful. So really for us, like I said, during the season, you're going to watch film with your opponent, this and that. So we're going to watch drill tape in practice or in our meetings. You know, we're going to watch our footwork. We're going to watch everything within our drill tape first and then get to our, you know, team aspect in 7-on-7. So I think that's a great opportunity to really go through the drills that you're doing, you know, because sometimes if you've got 12 bodies out there as a coach, you might not be able to watch all 12 guys, but you can go back and watch each kid go through the drills, and you really pick up a lot of stuff. And then the good thing about that is everyone on your defense is getting coached. So if you're maybe running 1s and 2s for a session in team, your 3s and your 4s might not be getting as many plays as they'd like, but they're still getting coached with the drills, with the techniques, and everyone's getting filmed. So it gives everyone some good feedback that they like to progress and get better during camp.
Coach, you mentioned really in this, what you're talking about there, evaluating, you know, what you guys are doing, what looks good. Maybe at this point, again, what do we want to invest in? Maybe a little bit more, pull back on. As you look at just evaluation of, let's call it scheme, not the players yet, we'll talk about that in a second, but evaluating the scheme for you guys, what tells you, hey, let's stick with this and make it better? And what tells you, hey, let's put this on the back burner or throw it out completely?
It's what can our kids, if it's the fourth quarter with 2 minutes left, it's a tie ball game, and I feel like our kids can run it with the back of their hand. I mean, that's what we're gonna run. You know, that's going to be our base defense. Obviously, you know, scheme-wise, we have a base that we're going to run year in and year out. But then it's just kind of, you know, fitting to what your kids' strengths are, putting them in a position that's going to utilize their talents the most. But, you know, if we do a thing in our walkthroughs, we call them perfect plays. It sounds really easy. The first group will get up there. They'll get up there. We'll get on the buckets, and we'll get lined up. We line up to a formation we call. Every single person has to do their exact responsibility down to their footwork. And if one person screws up, whether it is, and I'll go out and I might call out five of the guys and ask them what their responsibility is. And they've got to tell me exactly what they're doing. And if one guy gets it wrong, the group goes over and, you know, does some type of push-ups, and then the second group comes on and they do the exact same thing. So, you know, likely they should be watching that first group. Because if this guy screws it up, you shouldn't screw it up. But same thing, and then we'll go through three groups doing that. And then if I feel like at the end there's a couple things that we didn't get 100% across the board, if there's any issue that maybe, you know, one position is confused on, you know, we're going to put it out. You know, I'd rather have a game plan. I am always trying to take things away, not add them, always. And sometimes it's a tough thing to do as a coach, but I would rather go into a game plan with half of what I thought we could run and then just get really, really good at them. So that's kind of our philosophy.
I love that idea of the perfect play, especially in a walkthrough. On the other side of things, I guess, how are you running the scout portion of it? Are you running against cans? What do you have lining up against you? And I guess to get really that workflow and to be able to get through that walkthrough efficiently.
So, you know, we have five between myself. I'm a full-time coach, and then we have three GAs and then a part-time guy. So we've got, you know, four or five of us, and then if there's an injured guy, there'll be six. We're going to be the formations, all the coaches. So we have our script. So there's never really telling, you know, the backups that or the third string guys, hey, get in this formation. We have it on our script. We know where we're going. So that saves a ton of time. And then we actually utilize go route. We got it last year, and that has been unbelievable for us. So if we're ever doing anything where we're going to have some scout guys in there, we hook them up with a go route, and our linebacker coach has his cell phone out there, and he pops it to the next play, and that has been unbelievable for us. I would highly recommend. In fact, we're not sponsored by anything, but I would highly recommend getting that. We're actually buying a complete other set of that this year just because it has helped out so much. But, you know, for us, perfect plays, our coaches are going to be involved. They're going to be getting lined up as the formations. And this way our DB coach will be a receiver, and he can talk to the corners when he's out there. You know, I'm the quarterback, so I can talk to the defensive line, which I coach. And we go from there. So as much as we can get everyone, coaches involved, and everyone's paying attention, that'll make it we can do 12 perfect plays in 10 minutes with all three groups. We could usually get that done.
So that's 36 plays over 10 minutes that you're getting in.
Flying. We're flying.
Yeah, that's good. I love that technology. You brought up Go Route, and I had the opportunity. I know, you know, Mike over there pretty well. I've met him and talked with him through the years as he was developing this technology. And I want to say we used it in 2000. It was the year after we played you guys when I was at Oberlin, 2016 season, I believe we used it. And he was still working out the bugs and didn't have it on his new system yet, but I've seen it since. And what an incredible coaching tool and piece of technology. You know, at first it was trying to figure out the workflow, but I think Mike has worked out all those bugs too for you guys. And again, you mentioned you only have, you know, three other full-time guys, so it's not a big staff that you have. So how do you work that into the workflow and really to put together your practices? Does it take a lot of time?
No, I mean, we have it, you know, the GAs and myself that are in the office, our practice schedule for the most part doesn't change day in and day out, you know, so we've got a great idea of what we're going to do. I'm going to do all the scripting as far as, you know, what we're going to see against offense, what they're going to be running, what we'll be running against them. And then really with the go route, we go on huddle. We drop the cards there, and then we can import them right into go route. So it's not tough. And I'm always a big believer of, you know, our staff taking ownership in their position. So we're going to do the first 5 minutes. We're going to do some type of pursuit every day. We don't ever, I don't care if we're playing 2 years ago in the Final Four, we're going to do pursuit for the first 5 minutes of practice every single day. That's just something that's ingrained that we do. The next 5 minutes is a tackling. We call it our fundy stations. So we'll mix this up where we go as a full group and we'll do stations rotating around. But where I visited Villanova a couple of years ago and I really liked how they did it. They just, they flew through three drills in 5 minutes, two tackling and one turnover per position. And, you know, DBs, it was a little bit more open field emphasis. The line was a little bit more shed tackle and things like that. So we've really gotten to that where that's 5 minutes, three good tackling stations. And during the season or, you know, condensed practice, if you start getting in those stations, that's going to take 10 minutes to rotate and, you know, all that stuff. This, we can get it done in 5 minutes and get three really good drills every day. And that's a Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday deal. So, you know, that's nine tackling turnover station drills per week that we're doing every single day. And so first 10 minutes out of our 20 minutes of Indy is going to be pursuit, tackling, and turnovers. And frankly, there's nothing as important than that. So, but the rest of that 10 minutes of Indy, I let those guys plan it and take ownership, and they've done a great job with it.
Coach, we've talked about your run defense and really that tackle for loss mentality. You guys get a lot of tackles for loss, and I know, you know, you see your base defense is those five-man pressures. There's a lot of people out there trying to run five-man pressures. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there running things similar to you but not getting that effectiveness. What would you say really is the key to your guys being so effective in destroying those blocks and making those tackles for loss?
Yeah, man, I got all fired up the other day. I listened to Don Brown. He was on some interview, and just the way he talks, man, it just gets me fired up. And I'm not saying, listen, I'm not Don Brown by any stretch of the means, but the thing that we are very similar, and it's good to hear it from a guy, you know, at the highest level, is that's the way he lives aggressively. And I think for us, the biggest difference is it's just what we teach day in and day out. And most people think, you know, when you're bringing a five-man pressure, it's on third down. All right, let's get pressure on the quarterback for the pass game. We teach it completely different. So if I'm an outside backer and I'm running one of our pressures, let's say I'm keying the tackle. He can only do three things. He can pass pro, he can base block, or he can down block or zone away. And really a base block to us or a zone two, we treat it exactly the same. So can I play those three different options out of that one of our three pressures that we have? And we'll just practice that over and over and over and over and over again. Whether we're doing it, I mean, we don't even have to do it in a live team or inside period. It is a one-on-one drill and practice, just getting rotating over and over and over and getting those reps down. So if you can compartmentalize it and break it down just per position, per the guy that you're going against, it's going to fit in against any type of run play that you're going to see. So I think we've done a great job as a staff is compartmentalizing each position. You know, the guy in front of you, what's he doing? He's really going to give you three things. How are you going to react to that? And just rep it over and over and over. And everything we talk about is run, 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 run. Never get too far upfield. Keep our shoulders squares. Great hand leverage inside. Shimmy compression position. So for us, everything we do is against the run. And as we've talked about before, that's gonna parlay into the pass game, you know, as that progresses throughout the game.
Coach, I think the last part of this is making sure you have the right guys on the field, and it's certainly creating that chemistry during camp, but it goes then to the player evaluation. As you look at all your guys coming through camp, and you're going to have a new mix of kids with some of those freshmen coming in, how do you figure out the playing time from the starter to the backup and maybe guys who you need down the line?
Well, one of the first things that we always talk about is just being accountable. You know, are you accountable on the football field? Are you accountable in the weight room? Are you accountable in practice in the game. You know, that's going to take priority over everything. Attitude and effort. Attitude and effort. That's it. I have a one-on-one meeting in the spring with every kid, and I say, guys, two things that you can control is your attitude and effort. And if you're going to bring those every single day, you're going to have a great, great opportunity to play for us, because I'm going to take a kid with great attitude and effort over, you know, that might not be as talented as the other guy, but if he's not given that great attitude and effort, like I said, with our scheme, if we can run it in the fourth quarter and we can be confident when we're going to run it. Well, if a kid's got great attitude and effort, he's going to be good in the fourth quarter. You know, so first and foremost, those are the kids that are going to play football, and those are the kids that are going to get the playing time. After that, you know, it's just developing, and our job as coaches is to develop that attitude. You know, some guys just have it. Those are guys that are easy to coach. Some don't, and some will transition and get better as the years goes on, and some unfortunately won't. But that's our job, to develop that and try and implement that and do that and get those guys ready for whenever their time comes. But we're going to try and play all of our best football players. You know, I wouldn't say we're a package defense, but we're going to try. We're always going to have one type of sub package that we feel that we can play in most situations. And that's going to be based on year in and year out of who's our next best football player. You know, whether it's a DB, we were very strong in the defensive back position last year, and it was more of a nickel. This year, it could possibly be some more of our linebackers, you know, getting five linebackers on the field at some point. So knowing those guys, if just because you're behind a guy that's starting, that doesn't matter. You know, go out there and be the best football player that you can be. It's our job as coaches to try and find the best way to get you on the field and utilize your talent. So that's one thing I really stress with our guys the first couple of days. And we don't show them depth charts at all, because I don't even want those guys thinking about it. That shouldn't be even on their mind where they're on the depth chart right now. They're just learning, you know, what they have to do to compete every day.
Well, Coach, I appreciate you spending some time with us here as you get ready for your camp and as we go through training camp for a lot of schools out there. Best of luck to you and the Golden Eagles in 2019.
Thanks, Coach. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. Please check out all we're doing on Twitter at our Twitter handle for coaches at FBDEVCoach. Check out our systems for blocking, defeating blocks, and tackling at footballdevelopment.com. If you register there with your email address, you can get access to our shoulder tackle system, the entire system, as well as three free videos of your choice, either from advanced tackling or from our contact system, which is blocking and defeating blocks. This is some of the best stuff, some cutting-edge stuff, I think, that you're going to find is very efficient and effective in the way you teach your players. And there's a lot of drills here that help you improve that skill year-round. Check it out at footballdevelopment.com. Check out our coaches' notes on usafootball.com. Go to the resources tab for development and training. Our coaches' notes are given to us by coaches around the country, state champs, some of the NCAA leaders. Those guys have been doing a great job in putting that together in our tips format, which is teach, install, and problem solve. And in there, we also have further review, which we allow our clips to be downloadable, and you can download those and put them into your Huddle. No need for an extra subscription to a Huddle page. So check those out. And as always, go to blogs.usafootball.com for our show notes, our analysis, articles, and coaching. Finally, if you're enjoying the podcast, head over to iTunes and give us a 5-star rate. If you have a minute, write a review. It really helps out the podcast.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.